Parents may end up footing a higher bill for childcare as a shortage of teachers in the sector stretches on. The Early Childhood Council, which represents centres from across the ECE sector, says relief teacher rates have soared to between $45 to $49 as providers struggle to attract and retain staff. Earlier this year, early childhood, primary and secondary teachers were added to the regional skill shortage list, allowing migrants to help fill jobs in the regions. But that hasn't helped struggling centres in the bigger cities, especially Auckland. Another problem in the sector is teacher pay. Salaries in centres that aren't kindergarten start at $41,000 for a certified teacher with a teaching diploma, while a certified teacher with a four-year degree earns around $46,000. There is no scale that recognises years of teaching experience. Well, last night these issues were thrashed out at a meeting in Wellington chaired by Dr. Sarah Alexander, who is with me. Good morning.
Good morning.
Also with us, Peter Reynolds, Chief Executive of the Early Childhood Council. Hi, Peter.
Good morning.
And listening in, Anna Ryder, who owns and runs the daycare centre Ruru House in Taranaki. Good morning, Anna.
Morena.
Peter, could you give us an overview first of what is happening with staffing shortages in early childhood education centres?
We've experienced a shortage of teacher numbers for a little while now, and it's been building up. It's sort of a supply and demand type issue where originally teacher numbers were the ECE teacher was first invented as a professional grouping. There was a shortage then that was responded to by the tertiary sector producing more graduates. But with the turnover in staff and then a subsequent cut in government subsidy funding in 2011, we've seen a growing shortage emerge, and that's been consistent in the primary school sector as well. So now centres are really struggling to find qualified staff, and they're having to pay quite high rates for relief staff, combined with these relievers coming in and refusing to do paperwork. So these sorts of issues are compounding on the pressures and stresses that centres are facing currently.
What are the costs for the relief staff?
The costs, I've had costs quoted in places like Auckland of upwards of $45, $46, up to $50 an hour for somebody to come in, care and work with the children, but not complete any lesson plans or any learning stories or any paperwork requirements that are normally an indication and a support for quality ECE experiences.
Who are the relief staff?
The ones that are charging the most tend to be coming from agencies, but a centre is going to try and attract relief staff from wherever they can. So some centres are very fortunate. They have relievers that they can call upon themselves, and they've made their own arrangements. But many are scrambling to try and find staff, and they'll use relievers either to cover people who are sick or going off on holiday, or indeed if they've got vacancies and they can't fill those vacancies, they'll have to use a succession of relievers. It's not ideal, but when there's a shortage, you do what you have to do.
These are certified teachers, however.
Certificated teachers, yes.
On the question of why there's a shortage, you mentioned turnover. Why is the turnover worsening?
The turnover's not worsening. It's always been a factor in our sector, and there's a number of reasons for this. From my perspective, the turnover is driven by people coming into the sector as new graduates, working for a period of time and then wanting to go overseas or perhaps start a family. I'm sure Sarah will also point out that for some services, the pay rates for teachers is not as good as it could be, and this too drives a certain amount of stress and turnover in our sector.
What do you believe the solution is? Because it appears there's already been an attempt to put this on the skills shortage list to allow centres to bring in staff from overseas. Has that brought any relief?
Not really. It is a help, or it could potentially be a help, but finding foreign students to come into New Zealand is not the solution unto itself. The problem exists because we have a sector in New Zealand where the government sets things like the funding levels through subsidies and also sets minimum wages. So they're involved in the sector quite intensively. And because of that, when you get these drains or these changes in supply and demand, it really depends on what response the government is going to give to this. Childcare centres only have two sources of funding. One is the subsidy money that they receive from government, which actually makes up the majority of funding they receive. And the second is parent fees. Not every centre charges parent fees, but many do. Now, we don't want to keep getting into situations where the funding starts falling short and we've got to turn to parents for more.
Is that happening? Are there people already putting their fees up? Anecdotally, I'm hearing that. And how much? What are you hearing?
In percentage terms, we're certainly hearing about anything up to a 5% or plus 5% increase.
Per annum?
It depends on the circumstances of the individual teacher, just on the flat rate charged.
And that's per annum. Has that been happening for a couple of years or 3 years? Or?
Well, the government significantly cut the subsidy rates in 2011. So the average childcare centre lost something like $70,000 as of 1st of February that year. So, you know, the dollars have got to come from somewhere.
I'm just trying to get a sense of how much that increased cost for parents is tracking. And is it 5% year on year at the moment?
What did we see? There was a recent report or survey report that came out that said the costs of childcare in New Zealand had almost quadrupled over time. I think that's a bit excessive. But certainly the costs of childcare have increased markedly. I can't give you a percentage because of the wide variation that exists across the sector.
So what do you believe the solution is?
For the last over 2 years, we've been trying to approach the Ministry of Education to say, look, we've got this teacher shortage. You're actually pouring millions of dollars into supporting the schooling sector around their teacher shortage. What can we do in early childhood education? The minister challenged us to bring some ideas to the table of things that might relieve pressure. We did that last October. That package was put in front of officials to work through. They came back with a long list of reasons why none of it was going to work and have presented no ideas themselves. Most recently, four separate organisations within early childhood, representing over 70% of childcare centres, sought a meeting with the minister that was declined. We've been asked to submit more information on ideas that could work. We've already done that. We're still seeing no traction from this government on what could be done to help support services that are struggling.
So something like $1.8 billion a year in taxpayer money is spent on subsidies in the early childhood sector. 98%, I think, of those services are privately owned. So what was in that October manifesto, if you like?
Okay, there's a couple of things there that I think need to be pointed out. The first is that the bulk of money that goes into early childhood education is to pay for the number of individual children participating. The issue here, where the cutbacks have occurred, is in the per-child rate of funding, so the amount of money that the government gives for every child who participates. That has been cut back significantly since 2011.
Have you got a figure?
So in fact, you've got a situation at the moment where the more children a childcare centre takes on, the higher the debt they may incur as a result. So the only way they can circumvent that is to look toward parents and increase parent fees.
Do you have a figure for how much the per child subsidy has been cut?
The budget this year introduced an increase of 1.8% on the per child rate. We've lost between 17 and 23% since 2011. It didn't even cover inflation. That budget actually cost the average childcare centre $9,100 per year.
Can you quantify for us what the shortages are? Have you surveyed to get a sense of that?
We've surveyed, but the survey is only, it's based on a sample, it's not an audit. The sample indicates that over 60% of the services who responded to our survey continue to experience teacher shortages and teacher vacancies. That represents just over 400 services, and it's taking them in excess of 100 days to find any reasonable respondent or candidate to fill those vacancies.
So about 10% of the total number of services took part in that survey, and that was just seeking a response survey, was it?
Yes.
Okay. Is Auckland particularly struggling in part because the immigration stopgap, if you like, the skills shortage is a regional skills shortage program? Are people coming here going regional rather than to Auckland?
There's a couple of things that affect that. The government changed, or Statistics New Zealand, Immigration New Zealand, I should say, changed the label from the immediate skills shortage list to a regional skills shortage list. They've told us it's just a change in name. The intent is the same. However, they still have a policy in place that states if somebody wants a permanent visa, there's a point system that has to apply to it that effectively drives people out of Auckland because they don't want to see everybody coming into the country going into the Auckland market. From our perspective, the majority of gaps, of vacancies, do exist in Auckland purely on a population base. But we've got centres right throughout the country who are struggling to make ends meet because they can't find staff.
If the per-child subsidy is a core part of the manifesto, what else is there? Is that the main issue?
It is the main issue in terms of funding and the funding shortfall. So government needs to make a commitment around where that per-child rate of funding should be sitting. It's quite a complex picture. It's not an easy picture to explain. And certainly it's one where the previous government was very quick to hide the cuts that were being made in favour of arguing that they're increasing the investment in early childhood education. They had to increase the investment because the number of children participating was going up.
So you're saying the overall spend went up, but the per-child rate went down?
Yes.
Thank you, Peter. Peter Reynolds is with the Early Childhood Council, Chief Executive of the Early Childhood Council. Listening in, its members are owners and primarily owners and others with interests in the services throughout the country. Listening in also is Sarah Alexander. Dr. Sarah Alexander, as I said, she chaired a meeting in Wellington last night. She is with the Child Forum. And Sarah, good morning.
Just good morning.
Remind us who the Child Forum represents.
Okay. Child Forum is it's a nationwide network of early childhood services, employers, teachers, parents, researchers, people that are interested in information, research, and who promote and want quality early childhood education.
What was on the table last night at this meeting?
Last night we discussed the issue of teacher pay. The bigger issue is the status of early childhood education. Early childhood education has a very low status in New Zealand. It has, for a very long time, had a low status compared to both primary and secondary education. Teacher pay is one of the reasons why it has a low status.
So you're focusing on the teacher pay.
Mm.
Obviously, we've got two different things going on here. We've got the costs of the centre. As we said, overwhelmingly, the centres in New Zealand are privately owned. You're saying that's twofold. That might be a cost for the centre, but there is also an issue with people wanting to become teachers in the first place.
Yes. The business lobby group, represented by Peter Reynolds, they really should have been at the meeting last night. It sounds very much to me like, you know, they need information, they need support to know what the issues are. You know, you ask the question of Mr. Reynolds as to who these relievers are. These relievers are people who are feeling disaffected, who are feeling like they just don't want to work in early childhood education any longer. So they go, if they aren't, but they love their job, they love working with children, but the risks to them of staying in their job are very high. The risks, for example, we've identified that a third of early childhood staff experience bullying, nearly half experience workplace injuries. A quarter believe that their early childhood service is not of sufficient quality, that they would put their own child into it. Add to that, you know, what we've seen over recent years, a rise in complaints against early childhood services. We've also seen when things go wrong in early childhood services, it's the teachers who are reported to the Teaching Council for disciplinary action. But nothing seems to happen. There's no negative consequences for the owners. So teachers put themselves at tremendous risks when, for example, the ratios aren't met.
Are you saying
services.
Some are voting with their feet for reasons
yes.
other than pay?
Other than pay.
How do you know that?
This comes through the data. You know, a third of experiencing bullying, people aren't endorsing the quality of their own service. people are telling us for quite a wee while now that we've seen a trend where more teachers are leaving their positions to go relieving or to go and work in other places. Even Kmart, they might drop it $1 an hour in wage, but it can be a safer environment for them to work in.
Is there, however, a pay issue?
There is a pay issue, and that pay issue is about attracting more people into the sector, but also if these risks are there, if people are being paid more, it will put more onus onto the providers to look after their staff better. But at the moment, in some services, teachers are not treated very well and they're not paid well.
We've just said there's 4,000. So what proportion would you say have issues in the way they treat their staff beyond workplace issues that everywhere has in the way they treat their staff?
Well, you've heard that kindergarten teachers are currently going through negotiations for their next collective contract. Now, currently, kindergarten teachers have pay parity with primary, and that is one of the main reasons why people love to work in kindergartens, because the pay is good, and because the pay is good, these teachers tend to be well respected.
Okay, but within the private services, what percentage do you believe have other issues to address other than just trying to attract people with decent pay?
I can't give an accurate figure on that, but pay goes hand in hand with respect, with the way that staff are treated. It goes towards building an environment that people want to work in.
Where are these teachers going with this high turnover? You mentioned Kmart, but are some of them going into the primary sector, which has its
primary sector, yes.
So that pay differential is an issue.
It is a huge issue because, currently the Ministry of Education, to a large extent, is responsible for the low pay rates and hence also the growing teacher shortage. We've got the issue of it not being a safe environment to work in. Today, I wouldn't want to be an early childhood teacher today. It's not safe to work in some early childhood services or in a growing proportion of early childhood services. Then there's also the issue of wages, that it's working in early childhood is just really more like a second income. It's hard to live independently on the income that you get working in early childhood. And then the ministry has set a minimum adult wage, a minimum wage for early childhood teachers, which is very low. I think you said in your introduction, it comes down to about $21 an hour if you've got a three-year degree or $22 an hour if you've got a four-year degree.
That's if you're on $45,000.
Yes, but if you're a teacher, the primary teacher's wages are increasing. So at the top of the basic scale for primary, that same teacher in early childhood who would be on a wage of $46,000, if that teacher leaves their job and walks into a job in the new entrant room in a primary school, that same teacher on $46,000 could be on $90,000. That's a huge
difference. Let's just back that up. So at the moment, if you're a certificated teacher with a four-year degree in an early childhood education service, is your maximum $46,000?
No, that's the minimum. But that's unfortunately,
minimum.
What...
Well, you've given me a minimum and a maximum. So what would the equivalent minimum be as a primary teacher?
That would be it, because that would be... What we have in early childhood, the Ministry of Education's pay rates do not reflect years of experience. There is no pay scale. So an early childhood teacher, the minimum there is, for example, $22 an hour if you've got a four-year degree. It doesn't matter how many years of experience you have, it doesn't increase.
Okay.
Whereas in the primary sector, it increases. There is a scale there.
So I think also with this latest pay increase, a beginning teacher in a primary school is going from $49,500 to $55,900. Mm-hmm. So straight away you can see a differential, and then that differential...
Even at that level.
Then that differential grows over the course of your career till it maxes, it maxes out.
So we have some really highly experienced teachers who've been in the sector for years on very low wages.
What percentage now, though, of early childhood education teachers have those high-level qualifications? Because that was another target the previous government brought in, wasn't it? They wanted to get to 80%, I think. What percentage of early childhood educators now have degree, have degree teaching diploma?
Yep. I looked at the figures about a year ago. I asked the Ministry of Education and they said we were sitting on around 79% of all early childhood teachers were qualified certificated teachers. So we'd actually reached that target of 80, but it's never actually become a legal requirement.
Do you know how many have...
I would suggest that's now dropping.
Yes, but do you know how many... This is just a certificated teacher with a teacher diploma. Do you know how many have 3 degrees, 4-year degrees?
Oh, it's not actually broken down like that. It's to do with if they're certificated.
Right.
Yeah. So if the Teaching Council has said, regardless of a 3-year diploma, older teachers such as myself will have a 3-year diploma. Younger teachers today or new teachers, new graduates are coming out with degrees.
But you had got close to being 80% certified.
Yes.
And
you now
speculate that is falling
backwards.
It will
be starting to drop because nothing is being done to reduce risks to teachers working in early childhood environments. Nothing has been done to increase wages. People instead are saying, okay, well, we can earn a bit of a better income to be able to support our own children, to be able to pay our own bills if we go relieving. Of course, relievers don't get $45 or $35 an hour. The employers will be paying that. The teachers will be getting a bit less than that because the relieving agency charges the employers.
What is the translation between the per child fee and the pay of a teacher? And is there any? The ministry sets the pay. Okay. So if the ministry wanted to increase the pay of early childhood education teachers, and there's clearly a campaign for that to happen right now, would that affect the per child subsidy going to the owner? How would it happen?
Well, interestingly, in a survey earlier this year, a pre-budget survey, we asked people within the early childhood sector, across the early childhood sector, including from the business lobby group, what would happen if... how would they tolerate an increase in the minimum wages that the ministry sets? And would they say yes to an increase with funding, or would they say yes to an increase without funding? It was roughly half and half. There were a good proportion, I think it was something like 80% of employers actually said that they could tolerate at the moment an increase in the minimum wage.
What was that survey?
It was questions related to a pre-budget survey that we did just pre-budget.
And was that a representative sample in the survey?
No, but it was 900 people, so it was an open survey for anyone in the early childhood sector to respond to. And it was roughly representative in terms of proportion of employers, kindergarten, childcare and so on. But it was just to gain people's views.
Well, again, with what we've heard, it sounds like from the centre owner's representative, it would be a big ask. Having said that they'd have lost per child subsidy levels since 2011, a big ask to increase pay without a commensurate increase in their funding.
We just heard a figure, though, that of approximately $5 increase in fees to parents.
5%.
And yet, 5%.
And
sorry,
I'm not
5%.
Clear whether that was just 1 year or year
what?
On year.
I know.
Well, no, I'm
that's,
sorry.
That's
that,
kind
I don't,
of puzzling,
I
isn't it?
I don't think our guest was able to tell us.
Because the ministry has only just announced that from the 1st of August... the minimum wages will be increasing by 1%, and that is actually only 22 cents an hour. So from the 1st of August, only 22 cents an hour increase.
Yeah, but we've heard that this appears to have an historic context for the service providers. Thank you. One of them's listening in, by the way. Anna Ryder is an owner and operator of Ruru House in Taranaki. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning. Good morning.
What's your experience first in finding staff and being able to keep them?
Well, I'm in a very privileged position here in Taranaki because we've just a very new centre. We've opened in a rural setting, so we were able to attract really highly qualified staff to our centre. So we're probably not the norm in regards to the teacher shortage that's being seen around New Zealand at the moment. But in saying that, I know that there are teachers within the sector that are at their wit's end in regards to where they're working and what conditions they're working under. So for the future, I don't see it to be a positive profession for people to be choosing and going into if it continues in this way.
What do you see as the essential issues?
I think it's quite a complex issue. I think it comes back to ratios for teachers. We are funded to have a certain amount of teachers per child in our centres. So at the moment, within our centre at the moment, we have more teachers than what we are required to on the floor. So that really reduces the stress on the teachers and the children. And that also increases the wage bill. So if we were to drop down to minimum government ratios, there probably would be more money for profit and for wages. But we're not willing to do that to our children. And there's also a wage issue. The teachers are only going to be able to earn so much for so long at the current funding rate.
Appreciate it's all fairly new in some ways with this particular service of yours, but are you having issues or questions around retention? Do you believe you will have issues around with retention because of pay?
I think eventually we will if the funding doesn't go up. If you're a centre owner like myself who's working and living and breathing and basically lives at the centre, then you can kind of stay on top of those other issues that Sarah was talking about. I think we have a pretty good culture here at Ruru with the staff, and overall I feel that the staff are pretty happy. But those kinds of things can only carry you for so long. So wages in the end, I think, will be a deciding factor for most of our teachers.
What is your comment on the sector generally? There's a lot of providers out there. Are the issues different in different places? And particularly when you look through the eyes of the teachers who are deciding, am I going to work here? Am I going to work at this pay rate?
Oh, definitely, because I've got very passionate teachers here who are willing to... They understand the issues facing the sector and the pressure on the wages, but they definitely appreciate the other positives working at Ruru. But I can see, it was mentioned before about relievers in larger places like Auckland. Now, if you've got three relievers that come in to that centre for the day, those three relievers may not know those children, so they're basically there to help the children during that day. And you might have, say, three or four other teachers within that service that know the children. So, effectively, those three or four teachers are going to be really overworked and under stress and under the pump that day, and it might be that the other teachers are really just kind of there for crowd management, which is definitely not what we want within the sector. We are here to support these children's well-being. Their brains are just at such a vulnerable point in their lives that they need the most skills, the most loving care that they can get in those early years. It's so critical.
What do you say needs to give then? What needs to happen? What would your manifesto
I think the
government
be? We've just recently gone through a draft consultation, He Tonga, to Maiti, Every Child is a Tonga. So there's been some great strategies, it's a strategic plan that's been put forward to the sector, and we've been involved in feedback for this. So I think there's some really there's some things in there that definitely need to change. One of them being ratios. So it's a complex issue. It's to do with quality and pay equity as well.
Thank you. I'm just going to come back briefly to Peter Reynolds, who's been listening to that, Early Childhood Council Chief Executive. Peter, did I hear you say earlier you were trying to get a meeting with the Minister of Education?
Yes. And that meeting was declined in favour of preparing some more written information about the sorts of ideas that might relieve pressure for the sector.
And could you answer that question again? If there's to be an increase in teacher pay, what is the mechanism for it?
Sarah outlined that there is a teacher attestation rate that's set by the Ministry of Education. Currently that's set at a minimum that equates to a rather small collective agreement. But in fact, the ministry could set it at whatever rate they want. The thing is, it does have to parallel an increase in funding at that per-child rate coming into the sector. Now, if the government decided they wanted to pay every teacher in the country, every early childhood teacher in the country, at the same level of a primary teacher, regrettably, that would cost them around $1.76 billion.
That would double the bill.
which is a bit unfortunate, but it's reflective of the fact that over the last decade we've had these cuts, and that's widened the gap. So we do need to sit down, be pragmatic about it, and build up a plan that everybody understands that steps us back toward that level of parity.
What are the ratios currently? What's the teacher-pupil?
The required ratios in the sector are 1 to 5 for children who are under 2 and 1 to 10 for children who are over 2. In reality, the sector is operating at about 1 to 4 and 1 to 8.
Thanks, all of you, for the discussion. That was Peter Reynolds, and thanks very much to Dr. Sarah Alexander and to Anna Ryder.